Welcome to No Apology with Emily and Chris. We are so excited to be with you on this April 8th. We are going to be laughing louder. We are going to be digging deeper, and we are going to be living larger in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Right, Chris?
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah. Glad to have you along with. We will get to the granny rant, which is one of our foundational bits in just a few minutes. Also, we're going to have the Salvaged by God deep dive, and I'm going to take you into some scriptures to help fight the deception.
Yeah, there
Mike Shaw's in the building. We're going to be bouncing back and forth with him, and we'll eventually get to Right On Way Off. But I just wanted to remind you that this is Companion Radio. It's a variety talk show with a Christian worldview. And we bring truth to your world honestly and authentically and without apology. And I must start by saying, Emily, that our apocalypse eclipse did not deliver the way we thought it was going to.
Yeah, it was really interesting because, Chris, you and I had been watching the NASA live stream. It was so interesting. It was so fun to see the people that have gathered in stadiums. It was much more kind of organized than it was the last time. I realize this is a little bit different total eclipse than the last one we had. So that's kind of cool. But it was really, really interesting to be able to see it from the NASA cameras, to look at the people sitting out and excitedly looking forward to this really fun, cool event. And it was kind of funny, though, because, Chris, you and I were watching commentators, you know, and they have to hype it up. They have to make it, you know.
We watched the NASA channel.
So exciting. And it was kind of funny because they were just like, it is just electric here. And the crowd is just, you know, and so they're hyping it all up. But in back of them is the crowd. And they're all like on the ground on their blankets with their little snacks. And it was like, I think this is more of a prophecy that, you know, Wall-E predicted, and we're all in our floaty chairs because it was electric, but nobody was really moving at all.
When it got dark, everybody
people
was cheering,
and
it was a cool thing. I mean, it was really a cool thing.
It really was.
But the reality is that it's not as great as what you think it is. As far as like, this is just going to be earth shattering. I mean, we knew what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And one of the deceptions I hope dies today.
What's that?
The flat Earth. Okay. It's not possible.
Right, this is not possible with your theory of a flat Earth.
That's right.
Which has been demonstrated wrong anyway.
Well, but, when totality. When that occurred across Texas and across Indiana, you know, there was a complete cover of the sun for about 4 minutes.
Okay.
The temperature noticeably dropped.
Yep, it does.
Birds
like it does
and
in
other
the evening.
Yeah. Birds and other wildlife became quiet, and we had a couple commentators saying, "I see bats.
There's bats
flying
out here." Yeah.
Yeah. And so it changed in the nighttime's behavior. Now, when we had totality in 2017, Emily, you and I were there for it.
It was so fun.
It was not 4 minutes. This one was a little longer, and
I think it was a little deeper.
And
for sure.
So there has been hotel rooms booked all along the path for years. Do you know what they're called?
Mm-mm.
Shadow lovers. And you know what that word is in Latin? Umbrophiles.
Umbrophiles?
Umbrophiles.
Like that's where we get umbrella.
Maybe. I don't know. Umbrophiles. They've been
shade, umbrella, umbrophiles. That makes sense to me.
Those traveling to see the eclipse brought in a financial boost as much as $6 billion to communities across a dozen states.
Wow.
And a lot of false prophets brought in a lot of money across a lot of channels trying to tell us that the four horsemen were. By the way, so we're live right now in Harlan, Iowa, and it's just a little past 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And right now, no four horsemen of the apocalypse have been seen.
Nothing.
I'm looking outside the window of the studio here, and I don't see the locusts swarming. This brood 19 and brood 13 of the cicadas.
The ocean has not swept over us. Nothing has happened.
Well, four NASA pilots are going to remain in the path of totality for 7 minutes to observe the eclipse
but
at 50,000 feet.
That's cool, because I think they do that like kind of all the time.
Yeah. And there was some products released tied to the eclipse that included donuts, cookies, juices, chips, pizza, chicken, and other restaurant offerings.
Okay, sure. Food for
so
people coming.
So for me, I love the fun.
I know,
I love
right,
the fun.
Right.
But I just hated the deception.
Yeah. I bet they had a lot of merch for sale.
Yeah.
A lot of DVDs, a lot of books, and
a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah.
Well,
stay
I can't
away
decide
from that.
If the path of totality reminds me more of a New Age religion, a Star Wars movie, or a chapter from Lord of the Rings.
It was, that's interesting, because it was almost like a religion. People were getting so hyped up and they're all looking up in the sky. And as soon as it happened, they're just cheering and clapping. And it was kind of like,
yeah,
a little bit weird that way. So, I think it's more of a religion at this point.
So I had a friend text me a picture, and I'm going to use it right now. And okay. Sorry for you audio listeners listening at a later time, but we're live on YouTube right now. And that is, you had to get your eclipse glasses.
Now you got to paint a picture for us.
Yeah, you got to paint a picture. A lot of people got really, really, you know, sad. And another friend texted me this. And that's Samuel L. Jackson. Say eclipse one more time. But here's the reality.
Okay.
Here's the reality.
Yep.
Is that there, you know, our solar eclipses every 18 months somewhere on the face of the earth.
Right.
But only the ones over America are prophetic.
Those are the only ones that matter.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, there are people out there that owe everybody an apology. And I mean, we're talking about like some of them are the same Trump prophets that got it wrong.
Right.
I mean, at what point do we say, quit it.
Stop.
And I'm telling you, don't listen to some of these people. They have as much Jesus as pork in the pork and beans.
Right.
They
yeah.
are deceptive.
Yeah.
And so here's the latest deception that has come out now since the eclipse has shown that it's not really going to create the rapture.
What do you mean? Since in the last few hours?
Last few hours. This is what
they were talking
about it. No, they were talking about if nothing happened. What it was going to be.
Okay.
And I've checked in on a few sites. And again, I'm not going to call anybody out by name.
Right. That's not important.
Not today. Next week, for sure. but not today. And here's what they're saying.
Okay, talk to me.
The reason we're not going to see the bugs come out and that, you know, we're not going to see the four horses of the apocalypse today. And another friend posted on Facebook that he was going to buy 1,000 blow-up dolls and fill them with helium and release them during totality so everybody would think that the rapture is happening. But they are saying that now the 40-day prophetic clock has started.
Are they serious?
Yeah, that now, so they got 40 more days to ride their deception.
Oh, they're attaching 40 days to it.
Well, and and so now over the 40 days, you got to separate yourself from your money, plant some seed in their ministry so that God will give you favor.
And then as we
all know, a joke.
A day is really a year in the Bible, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so 40 days is like 1,000 years.
And yeah.
If we were in Italy, you'd have to make my bed, but we're in Germany, so I'll have to make your bed.
That is funny. So they're actually doubling down.
They are.
They are prepared either way.
You never see a false prophet. Admit that they're a false prophet because that would have that would mean that their cash cow would dry up.
See,
and you listening right now, do not be deceived anymore.
Yeah.
And if you want to plant a seed somewhere, plant it in your local church. How come you never see one of these false teachers say, you know, if you want God's favor, you got to plant your seed and make sure you do that in your local church? How come they never say that? I'm just asking for a friend.
True, that's a really good point.
I'm asking for a church
that's
that wants
a really
to remodel
good
their
point.
Bathrooms.
Yeah. Okay, that was a joke.
Okay.
We are really remodeling, but hello.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, and it must be from the sign of Jonah, which I went hard after during the Salvaged by God deep dive.
Mm-mm,
and so the 40 days and all that. So the Salvaged by God message that's on YouTube right now, you got to watch
it. Check it out. Yeah.
I'm very.
It's good.
I hate saying that when it's my stuff. It just sounds
I'll say
so,
it. It's really good. Go
I just believe that when I was putting that together and God was showing me stuff in His Word, He speaks to me through the Bible.
Right,
That's how God speaks to me 99.99% of the time. And yes, he has impression on me. I'm filled with the Spirit.
As an individual,
I'm talking with God in my prayer time. But it's the Word of God speaking. And I just thought that He used me to do a pretty good job there. And I know that just sounds so stupid.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, how do you like my eclipse outfit for the day?
Oh, I love the eclipse
Don't
outfit.
Don't you love it? It's a bright yellow. Bright yellow shirt. That's the sun. Okay, the yellow one's the sun, and then the black sweater that goes over it—that's the moon blocking out the sun. Cool, huh? And and of course, if you see—I don't know if you can see that. Can you see like little peaks? It's a knit sweater, so little peaks of yellow.
Is that the diamond rim?
Yeah, that's
or whatever they call it.
What's the corona? That's
the corona.
No, I don't know. I don't know how far we want to go down this rabbit hole, but it is. So seriously. My eclipse outfit. So here's the thing that I want you to know. Here's the difference between God speaking and just the natural occurrence of things. Great illustration that I found online. A lunar eclipse is when between the sun and the moon, the earth passes and interrupts that, you know, direct line between the sun and the moon. When there's a solar eclipse, the moon interrupts the visual between the earth and the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if all of this, those are natural occurrences, but if all of the sudden the sun interrupted the visual between the earth and the moon, that's called the apocalypse.
Well, that's
it's
the apocalypse.
Over at that
and,
point.
And look at your shirt. You know, and for for you audio only listeners, jump on YouTube and check it out.
Yeah.
It's Emily's apocalypse shirt.
I love it.
Well, I tell you what, let's you know, we are here and we are here to prove a point.
Yep.
We're here to talk about the apocalypse eclipse. And Emily wants to take her granny rant, and she wants to really focus on the biblical aspect of the eclipse. And we're glad that you're joining us.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to do now. Salvaged by God, deep dive coming up afterwards, and Mike Shaw with Right On Way Off coming up after that. And so, like we start the show normally, now here's Emily with the granny rant.
The granny rant. Today, April 8th, will live in infamy, 2004, as the day when the sun got mooned. But here's the thing. We aren't trying to poke fun, even though we are going to address this from the lighter side of things.
Yeah, we have to.
There's serious stuff, okay? There's serious stuff going on. And so there's more to it than just finding when there's error and pointing out that people are making a mistake or that people aren't telling the truth and then laughing it off. I want to take you, my theme for the granny rant today, Sola Scriptura. I don't even know what language that is. Is that Greek, Latin? I don't know. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. That is it. We look to the Bible in order to interpret the things going on around us. We have made a flip. We have switched the truth for a lie, and now people are looking to what's going on around us in order to interpret the Bible. That's wrong. That's not right. So what's God doing? You want to know what God's doing? You have to get into God's word. You have to read the Bible, sola scriptura.
And if I had a video clip of my sermon, I would pop it in right now talking about exegesis versus eisegesis. Because I taught a little bit on that on Sunday.
You did.
And that, I've heard back from people, that made a difference.
It helps. I learned things in your message,
and that's kind of where you're going right now.
Exactly. So we're not looking to ancient languages. We are not looking to Hebrew letters and traditions. We are not looking to the earth's ordinary operations and substances. You know what that's called? It's called idolatry. The pagans do this. The pagans look at natural events to determine what the gods are saying, okay? Don't do this. So let's do that.
So what are you saying? The totality X really didn't do anything?
Well,
what about
I guess
the A that
I'm
it made
is,
from a couple years ago or next year or whatever it was?
Well, the eclipses draw straight lines over the earth everywhere they go. That's all they know how to do. So you draw straight lines all over in every direction. What are you going to have?
I don't know.
Triangles everywhere.
One of my kindergarten art projects.
Drop your pixie sticks. And those could be the paths of the solar eclipses.
I did.
Seriously.
And it spoke to me. And it said the sign of Jonah means there's 40 more days of dieting and exercise.
Yeah. Stop. Get into God's word. Let's look at the Bible. It is the complete, closed, canonized word of God. It's everything we know. It's obviously not the return of the Lord, because we're all still here. In fact, when somebody says, hey, April 8th could be the day when the Lord returns, I always go to my calendar and I fill up that day with lots of things to do, because then I know for a fact that day is not the day that God is going to return. It's also, let's look at the chatter about it's a warning from God about judgment on America, okay? We've kind of been joking about that because we already know from God's word, that America's under judgment. Okay, we've been talking about that a couple of weeks, actually. So in the light of sola scriptura, what does the Bible say about when a nation comes under the judgment of God? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Okay, 2 points that I want to lay out there first.
I was going to say something, I won't.
Go ahead, what's your joke?
It's past, go.
Okay, well, there's two things that I just want to point out before I get into the examples. Number one, when we look to God's word, in the New Testament, every single book in the New Testament, except for one, That's the book of Philemon. Every single book in the New Testament warns us about false teachers. Okay? Point number two in this foundation, the number of books throughout the entire Bible that point to an eclipse being part of God's revelation, big fat zero. There's none. Nowhere. It's just not there. So what does it look like? Here's some examples when we go to God's Word. What it looks like, how the Bible describes a nation coming under his judgment. Number one, God gives a nation under judgment corrupt leaders. Okay? We see this cycle repeat itself over and over and over again. We see it in the Bible, but we also see it just throughout secular human history. Mm-hmm. We go through these cycles where people forget God. They turn away from God. They fall into sin. They fall into rebellion. Then what does God do? He sends corrupt, evil, wicked leaders, okay? The people
and
fall
leadership
further.
Matters.
It does.
Leadership matters.
People fall further into despair and suffering, and as soon as it gets bad enough, they will cry out to God and say, oh, God, save us. You know, we were bad. We were wrong. We get it. We learned our lesson. And out of his great love and mercy, he will pull them up out of the mire once again. He will rescue them. He will save them. And they are happy and they are joyful and they seek after God until they forget to keep seeking after God. And this cycle just keeps repeating itself. Proverbs 29:2, King Solomon, he's a king. He knows about leaders, okay? He's also the wisest man to live. That's what the Bible says. He's very, very wise. He sums it up when he says in chapter 29, verse 2 of Proverbs, when the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. And when the wicked rule, people mourn.
Mm.
That's an axiomatic truth. We see it all the time. It's just true through and through. Now, Romans 31:1 tells us that all authority comes from God and that these positions of authority have been placed there by God. So he gives us our rulers and our authorities that we deserve or that we even ask for. So some people are like, well, wait, Emily, what are you saying that God gives us evil leaders and good leaders? And I'm like, yeah, no, I thought God gave us the good leaders and Satan gives us the evil leaders. Well, no, let's sola scriptura. Let's see what God's word says.
Yeah, let's see what it says.
That's not necessarily true in light of Psalm 75:7. It says, but God is the judge. He puts down and exalts one and another. He is in control. He is lifting them up and he is putting them down in his time. Our wicked leaders, if you have wicked leaders, it's an indication that it's a huge sign that your nation is under judgment.
Can it be time to put a couple down right now? I'm just
God
asking,
will. God
asking
will.
For a friend.
Our job is to be faithful and to proclaim the truth. But number two, what does it look like when God's judgment descends on a nation? People become pleasure seekers rather than doing what they ought to do. They're no longer...
Well, that doesn't describe America at all. We're very much a nose to the grindstone group of people.
No longer are we good neighbors and citizens. No, we are seekers of pleasure. Sodom and Gomorrah, there is no more stark example of this going on, okay?
Right.
Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 through 50, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, plenty of food, and carefree ease, but she did not help the poor or the needy. So they were haughty and committed abominations.
Mm.
Okay, we are living in this selfie, consumerism, narcissistic culture right now. And I think that's a pretty accurate description of the United States of America right now. We have plenty of wealth. We have plenty of food. We, for the most part, have a lot of spare time. Okay, so what do? We just give a portion of our money to the government and say, hey, you take care of the poor people and needy people. Then I don't have to get my hands dirty, you know, dealing with the poor masses or whatever. So that's exactly what's going on. And when they have a lot of time on their hands, you know, idle hands are the devil's workshop, so to speak. What do? They start falling into abominations. So that is a second way. People become lovers of pleasure. The third way we can see and know that a nation may be under the judgment of God It says a house divided cannot stand, right? Mm-hmm. We see this all over the scripture. Isaiah chapter 3, God brings judgment into the Philistines' camp. And he brings in confusion, and there's confusion. They start arguing. They start fighting. Pretty soon, they're taking up swords one against the other.
Now, that sounds like my old neighborhood.
Now, Jesus said it flat out, out loud. It's actually recorded in all the Gospels, so we're going to turn to Matthew. Chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus says to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste." No city or house divided against itself will stand. Now,
that's not good news for America.
It's not good news for America. However, this is what makes America coming through the Civil War such a miraculous thing. Abraham Lincoln calls for a day of fasting and prayer. And I gotta think people actually took him seriously and did it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was shortly after that that the Civil War actually came to an end. Here's what you also have to remember. In years past, when someone was called to prayer, there was an assumption that repentance was part of it. Repentance was always a part of prayer. And so Abraham Lincoln calls for this. Not only does the Civil War come to an end, but we stay together. The Union is saved. The Union is spared. That's an amazing thing because we humbled ourselves. We went to God in prayer before it was too late. Okay, so here's a side note. You ready to drop your jaw?
Let's sidebar.
All right, side note. The senator who put this resolution before Congress to have the president declare a day of prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
The senator was Senator James Harlan of Iowa.
Oh, really?
Yes, he is the one that drafted that resolution.
I love that.
Yeah, we're broadcasting
James
from
Harlan of
Harlan,
Iowa.
And yes, indeed, Harlan, Iowa was named after the senator back then in 1863.
That called for the prayer and fasting.
Exactly.
Now I realize why he called us here.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
And Mike Shaw's about to start his run for president of the United States right here in Iowa.
May I suggest starting it with a call to prayer and fasting?
Exactly.
Okay?
And then here, you added something very key there.
Yeah.
You said, and I'm guessing that the people did it.
Yeah.
That they actually followed through on that.
There was fruit. There was evidence of it.
And then later, our president, Mr. Lincoln, did the proclamation on the fourth Thursday of every November be a day of
Thanksgiving? Yep.
Thanksgiving
and repentance.
And repentance.
Exactly. It was a huge part of our history.
You can eat all you want, but you got to repent.
Okay. Number four. How do we know our nation is under judgment? False teachers and prophets.
Yeah.
There will
be
a rise of false teachers and prophets. Now, we often think of this in terms of that's going to happen right before Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is this has happened all throughout human history. We read about that exact thing happening in Jeremiah chapter 23. We read about that exact same thing happening in 1 Kings 22. And so this is nothing new. This has happened all throughout history. And when these false teachers and false prophets raised up, that was an indication that God's judgment was upon them. All right, I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute, but five. This is the final one.
Five? Yeah. Okay. This is quite the granny rant. I
know,
be
right. Yeah. I needed time.
Before the show, because we're live right now on YouTube, and then you audio listeners are getting it tomorrow morning, which for you would be today.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Okay, but it's important.
But you told me, you said you wanted to do a biblical response to the eclipse.
Yeah.
And
is
so
this biblical or
is it
this
is
biblical?
Very biblical. Yeah. And those 5 points is pretty impressive.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Right.
I had to do a lot of work to figure this
Number
out.
Number five.
Number five, they condone the shedding of innocent blood and the weak and the vulnerable become prey.
Mm.
We see that throughout history in pagan cultures. I mean, if you were weak, if you were vulnerable, if you were sick, if you were the elder, whatever, you were on their short list of you ought to even be around, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the Bible talks extensively about the killing of children. God hates it.
Yeah.
He hates it. The shedding of innocent blood is an abomination. So when you see that becoming the norm in your society, God's hand is not with you. It is not with you when that rises up to become the norm. It also talks about how we're supposed to be taking care of the widows and the orphans and the outcasts and the vulnerable. And today we see all kinds of people who are vulnerable being preyed on. Child abuse, elder abuse, human trafficking, abortion. These are all evidences, and they're all rampant right now, right? I'm not lying. But also, these false teachers and prophets that raised up that I was talking about earlier, they are promising the poor and the desperate that if they will give what little bit of money that they have left to their rich banks, their overflowing coffers, well, then God's going to bring you a miracle. He's going to bring you wealth. He's going to bring you healing or whatever it is that you are desperate for. It's despicable. Okay.
Especially when you use an event like an eclipse that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And what they're tying to it now, like it's some sort of, well, there's so much end time stuff all around that we need to have our radar up, and we're all sensitive to it because we're looking for the return of Jesus.
Yeah.
But then to double down on something that's been this ridiculous.
Because it's so obviously wrong.
Yeah, and I've been criticized for being critical of those people.
You're the problem.
I know. I'm unloving and abrasive.
But it's really the antithesis of the gospel and Christ's teaching. He tells us specifically to care for the widow, care for the orphan. These wealthy false teachers, if they really truly believed God's word, they would be taking their wealth and all those people that show up in groves or droves to their events and their meetings, they would be giving money to those poor people and helping those poor people in whatever way they possibly could. They're not. They're preying on them. And that means the hand of God is against them. Now, if the hand of God is against them, and it is, nations that embrace them or tolerate them, the hand of God is against the nation as well. Now, these are just a few of the signs. There's a lot more. Get into God's word. We're already under God's judgment. We see the signs all around us, and it has nothing to do with an eclipse. Okay? It's just not. So don't be deceived.
Yeah.
Don't let people whip you up into hysteria. Don't let people lead you into this nonsense. Get your heads out of the clouds. Stop looking up into the sky and get your face into God's word. And get on your knees. And God says that he listens to that contrite heart. He loves that contrite spirit. And so don't be deceived. That we're watching that evidence all around us once again today, April 8th, 2024. That's my granny rant.
That's the granny rant. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, a little long.
Boom shakalaka.
But man, how do you... I could go on for another hour, right? Not gonna spare you. In fact, let's turn because, Chris, it is time for your Salvaged by God deep dive.
Well, I really would like to jump off of what you're talking about right now.
Okay.
And I want you to kind of, you know, jump in with me. We're going to bring Mike Shaw in here in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that yesterday I had a message about the eclipse because it had been bothering me so much. And all you got to do is search Salvaged by God.
Yes.
On YouTube, and you can find it anywhere you get podcast content. Now, if you have iPhone and you're on iTunes podcast, it'll still show up with the Bible Idiots little logo there. Mm-hmm. Don't let that bother you. It's the same thing. And that message really is I think, a foundational truth as to where we stand. We talked about exegesis versus eisegesis. Mm-hmm. We talked about how people take prophecy out of context and how you can kind of do a lot of things. And when we talk about leadership, everybody, obviously, well, the Biden administration is just not very good, and, you know, we want Trump back and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Trump, okay? I have no problem with Trump. He will be the only president in my lifetime that I will have voted for three times, assuming that we live through to the election in November.
Right.
Never had that before.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out looking for a sign, and that's the thing, everybody's looking for signs and they need this special revelation. But there's, you set that aside, there is this idea that we're supposed to pursue the coming of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be looking for it. We're supposed to be asking, knocking, seeking in all areas of life.
True.
So it's not like that's bad. Oh, you're bad. You're looking for signs and wonders. You know, come off the couch, you know, Binky, and get a clue. That's not it. It's you need to be seeking, but you need to seek wisely.
Yeah.
And so if you're looking for a sign, it happened in 2014.
Okay.
And that's why when the blood moons came right after that, I'm like, this is it. This is it. Buckle up. We're going up, you know?
Yeah.
And the blood moons turned out to be bad fruit. So anyway.
Very bad fruit.
When the White House was lit up in rainbow colors.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been
a sign
to everybody that we've been given over to God's judgment. Now, I have said publicly that what is staying God's wrath? Because God's hand of wrath has been stayed.
Yeah.
And I believe that it is righteous people who are praying for the country.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean we've not had God's judgment? The answer is no. We have had God's judgment. God's judgment is in the form of abandonment.
Right.
And you gave a lot of great scriptural points. In fact, we have comment from Linda watching live, and she said, you know, great, great point. I don't know how to put that on the show, but figure that out another day. Anyway, so you can make comments, and we have people watching. It's
been
pretty fun.
Thank you for watching, guys. Anyway.
Yeah. So the reality is I'm forgetting what I was saying. It was, the rainbow thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court comes out with a decision at like 2:33, 4:30, somewhere in there, afternoon decision.
That this is the way it's going to be now. Yep.
And before it got dark, the White House was lit up in rainbow colors.
Yeah.
Now, having been in event type things on and off much of my life, you don't set that up in 10 minutes.
In a few hours, yeah.
So they knew that they were getting the judgment.
Oh, there was planning months in advance.
They knew that they were getting the decision that they got.
Mm-hmm.
That is alone enough to say that God has abandoned us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at God's abandonment, what does he do? You just covered it in the scriptures. He gives you over.
Gives you what
and
you want.
Right now, you cannot look across the landscape and see adults with master's degrees are at school boards demanding that we put kitty litter in the bathrooms for the furries.
Yeah.
Okay, at this point, you have to say we've been given over to a depraved mind.
Right.
And so if you go through Romans chapter 1, and then people want to say, well, you're not being, you know, welcoming and affirming. No, we'll welcome anybody. We're just not going to affirm them in their sin. Why? Because Jesus didn't. Everybody that Jesus went to and hung out with and welcomed in their sin nature, including myself, including me, he offered deliverance.
Yeah.
And that's a huge difference to offer deliverance to somebody
mm-hmm.
than it is to just affirm them in their sin.
Yeah.
Look, anybody that's waving a rainbow flag is not a worse sinner than me, okay? There is sin and there is iniquity. And there is sexual sins are very much a problem in the world of spiritual walking, much more so than a thief or somebody who lies a lot.
Right, right.
There's more iniquity involved. And the Bible says that if you are a sexual deviant, whether you're heterosexual, homosexual, doesn't matter, if you're a sexual deviant, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, that's what the scriptures say. So now the answer from the depraved mind folks is, let's eliminate the word of God.
Yeah.
Let's cut down the Bible into being nothing. That's why we did the movie Bible Idiots. Are we idiots for believing the Bible, or would we be idiots not to? It comes out of that world. We've been in this world negotiating, battling, talking, loving, praying,
proclaiming
for 15 years as we've watched the decline.
Yeah.
It's just been going on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So in my Salvaged by God presentation, which is off my message from my church at Fresh Encounter Church in Harlan, Iowa yesterday, I did a complete circular around Matthew chapter 7.
Circular reading.
Started with verse 15 through 20. Go ahead.
Yeah, not this is opposed to circular reasoning. This
right.
is not circular reasoning. No. This is circular reading.
What happens is that people need to take things in context, okay? And if you take things out of context, you've got a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people want to do. They want to take a little sliver of this and say that it means that.
Right.
Or even worse, we watched a fake prophet on YouTube like three nights ago. It was brought to our attention. We watched it. He uses a little passage from the NLT, and it's a very bad translation of the text. and points to that as his justification. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens is that when you start taking things out of context or not understanding the context in which it's written, you can get these false ideas in your head.
Right.
So Matthew 7, 15 through 20, what comes before it, what comes after it? That's what we mean by reading circular.
Yeah.
So you take those things. He's basically warning about false prophets. Good trees, bad trees. Good fruit, bad fruit. Yeah. Well, before it, it's the narrow way, right? Afterwards, it's many are going to come into my name and claim, Lord, Lord, and not do what I say. They act like I never gave them a law to obey, so
right.
I'm going to tell them to step off.
That's right.
So we cannot make up what we want Christianity to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so my big crescendo point that I thought was going to be yesterday, and I don't know if it was, was in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and down through 27. And,
right.
and it says this. It says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the river rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed, and collapsed with a great crash.
Ooh,
Another
yes.
translation says, great was the fall of it, okay? Think about this now. This eclipse and all the false teaching that's been going around and all the fear that it's been going about. Jesus says, fear not, fear not, fear not. So we have all this fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you basing your fear on?
Yeah.
Not on the words and doing the words of Jesus.
It's misplaced, for sure.
So I made the point, and this is it. This is my big crescendo.
Okay.
Then we're going to bring Mike Shaw in and keep the conversation going.
All right.
My big point is this. I used to think that Jesus was the rock.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. That's not what he says. I've even preached in a church called The Rock. And I love the concept of the rock. Well, you know, my house isn't built on sand. It's not built on my own way. I'm built on Jesus. I have faith in Jesus. I'm saved by Jesus. I'm building on the rock.
But the rock's not
is
Jesus.
Is that what the text says? The answer is no. I'm sorry. That's a good sentiment. That's a good concept that might help you in your spiritual walk. But that's not what it says. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them
that's
will
you.
Be like the wise man.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's the other thing I'm going to add,
that's the
and,
rock.
Then I'm done. Do you know that the culture he was saying that in was around the Sea of Galilee?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know that the sand there was really, really hard, hard packed sand?
Mm-hmm.
And that to dig down to the bedrock, you'd sometimes have to dig down 6, 7, 10 feet.
Right.
That doesn't sound like much in today's culture, but think about what the tools back 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking
mm-hmm.
around. So it took a lot of extra effort to dig down to the bedrock.
Yeah.
He's telling that to these people because many people would just build on the sand.
Because it was hard.
It was difficult.
It was difficult to get through it, but it wasn't bedrock.
It wasn't bedrock. It wasn't solid. You thought it was solid, but it wasn't. So,
they had to do the rock.
Deep meaning.
They had to do the work.
Here.
They had to do the work. They had to dig.
So Emily has had her say on the biblical portion,
mm-hmm.
and Mike Shaw, you've just heard the Salvaged by God deep dive portion. You actually were out there in the eclipse.
Am I on? I can't tell.
Did you burn your eyeballs out?
This is how I drove back from Omaha. I didn't want to take any chances of looking directly at the sun. I was warned many times, don't look directly at the sun.
Do not look directly at the sun.
But
yeah, you actually had some pictures that were really great.
I might have caused a few accidents where I was. When I was in Omaha, I was waiting for the kids to get out of school,
mm-hmm.
and it was right at the peak for us, like 1:55.
Sure.
The kids get out at 2. And so I took this, and I was looking at it, of course,
uh-huh.
and then I took this and put it over to my phone camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And zoomed in and got some pretty nice shots for a phone camera.
Right.
So it was pretty fun. It was cool. I love this stuff. I'm a science guy.
See,
so what do you
really
think
are.
About what do you think about all the deception that's been going on and Emily's Bible points and then my Salvaged by God? You know, we set up this live stream.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
To mock the eclipse in a way.
Yes.
But on the other hand,
the apocalypse.
Out of all of our mocking, we try to drive back to biblical truth.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, let's be honest. Sabbath, Jesus joked a lot like that too. Yeah. I mean, the boys wanted him to rain fire down on the Samaritans, he nicknamed them Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder, so right? Yeah.
So you know, it's just like the apocalypse eclipse.
The apocalypse now.
Look, yeah. I was open to the idea that there might be a bad player out there, and sure. I mean, right now, what it's a little past four. It's almost 4:40 Central Time on Eclipse Day. And I don't see any bugs outside, and I haven't heard of anything.
I made record time back from Omaha. There was less traffic, and I think because people were watching the eclipse, even here where it was 80% coverage.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
There were a lot of people that were waiting to go up to heaven, or they were waiting to see the four horsemen riding through the clouds, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's start there, right? Yeah. The sign of Jonah, which you dismantled beautifully yesterday in your message. So thank you for doing that. It was, it's some discussions
A thorough smackdown that I don't think anybody can even debate.
So this is what we should be doing.
Yeah.
And it's what you was you let scripture define scripture.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty simple to see what, that there was not going to be a problem today.
Yeah.
Now, if the sign of Jonah is not an eclipse, then we don't have to worry about this 40-day countdown either. Nope. But
that's part of it. But again, they always have a caveat.
Well, if they're doubling down on the sign of Jonah, then yes, 40 days, which by my math was May 18th. Someone said it was May 19th. If you start counting tomorrow,
what calendar are you using?
My brother told me
talk to you in June.
My brother told me a great story. This is hilarious.
Okay.
So if you believe that Matt Groening is from the future, he's the one who created The Simpsons.
Okay.
And you know how The Simpsons, things keep
a
coming true.
Times. Yeah.
Like Trump down the elevator is
eerie,
the big one.
Eerie coincidences, like
crazy
seven
stuff.
Of them, six, yeah. seven of them.
So I have not seen this, and I haven't independently verified this, but my brother was telling me this. There's an episode of The Simpsons where there's an eclipse. And Grandpa says this means the rapture is going to happen. He convinces the town to go up on Rapture Hill 40 days later, and nothing happens. And so they all go home. Grandpa Simpsons redoes the math. He's, I was off by 2 days. So he tries to get him back up, and they won't do it. And he gets raptured by himself 2 days later. So it may be 42 days.
Simpsons. Because when I do my theology, I think Grandpa Simpson every time.
Yeah, absolutely. But and Rapture Hill is.
I think what's the guy's name?
Matt Groening.
Matt Groening, yeah. I think what he's getting at is that if we keep telling these lies, people won't believe Christianity anymore.
Right.
I think that's true. I mean, there is going to come a day where people are going to say, you've been saying this Jesus character is going to come back, and your father said that, and your grandfather said that. He ain't coming back.
Yeah.
So stop people with the false predictions.
Before we get into Right On Way Off, I've got a question for both of you.
Okay.
And either one of you can go first. It makes no difference to you. To me,
or to us, or either,
to
really.
Yeah. Whatever, you know.
If either one of you guys has the thought, you just jump on the gas and go for it.
All right.
I'm watching some of this stuff, and for about the last 10 days, as I'm writing the sermon for Sunday, and as I'm just immersed in this, I had this reoccurring thought over and over and over again. And I can, in my mind, not all the time, because I'm so far into Christianity, but in my mind, I can try to go back to my days before I was saved.
Okay.
I try to go back to my old neighborhood. I try to go back to some of the people who have every now and then, it hasn't happened a lot lately, but since we've been in Iowa for 20 months, it's happened at least two or three times, where somebody from my old life will see that I'm a pastor and they'll freak out. And they'll want to find out.
We understand.
Sure.
And some of them want to talk to me because they want to know what I found.
That's good.
You know, how did I come out of this? How have I been sober all these years?
Yeah,
how did Emily stay with you for 38 years? What, what kind of con job did you do there?
Yeah, I got my own people going, you're a pastor's wife. What's up with that? Yeah.
So I move myself back into that, and I just look at all of this apocalypse stuff and the Christian nonsense that's around it. And I ask myself, how devastating is this kind of mumbo jumbo to those who might be hurting and in need of a savior?
Yeah.
Do you guys see what I see?
Yeah.
And if you do, what do you see?
Well, number one, it concerns me too, because I just feel bad. I feel so, so bad. So on the one hand, what that tells me is, Emily, you got to get out there and proclaim the truth.
Yeah.
So that the people that need it can get it. But it also tells me that, you know, God bringing these false teachers and false prophets, on the same token, he's giving us what we're wanting. And so there's going to be an element of that as well. Not everybody is going to listen to you. Yeah. Not everybody's going to receive that truth. So it's really a double side, you know, it's two sides of the same coin. God is indeed sending these false prophets because judgment's coming. He's giving people what they want to hear. But on the same token, some of them might be saved. So if you wake up another morning, keep proclaiming truth.
And then lift up your face. Your redemption's drawn near. Mike, what do you say? Because I know you ran pretty hard back in the day before you found Jesus, so you can relate to what I'm saying.
I can't.
How devastating is this eclipse nonsense?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, people who do not know their Bible, and apparently some who do, are going to be fooled by this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are looking for something sensational.
Yep.
They're looking for some inside information. And it is deceptive, and it can be harmful. Now, something really interesting has happened. I have a friend of someone I went to school with that I've been talking to about this, and who has, you know, was wondering, like, what's wrong with you people and your eclipse stuff? And so it's been my chance to say, hey, there's no eclipse in the Bible.
Yeah.
The 3 hours of darkness when Jesus was on the cross.
That's not different. An eclipse.
Eclipse don't
not
last
eclipse.
3 hours.
Right.
And, you know, I was able to
Joshua
break,
and
I was
all
able
that
to
stuff.
Break that down in Luke and
they were miracles.
And
yeah.
It's kind of opened this little door to speak some truth.
Cool.
So that part's been good. You know, I think about people that I know that have good hearts, that love God, mm-hmm. are good Christians, definitely know Jesus, who also are studying and believe this eclipse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their hearts might be right, but they are wrong. And I would just ask them to, you know, listen to this show, listen to Chris's sermon from yesterday, and really honestly let the scripture define the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Sola scriptura.
And not try to build your foundation on, you know, just say, well, there was probably an eclipse around the time that Jonah went to Nineveh, and so this is the sign of Jonah, and then build your whole premise on that falsehood, that is a lie. And so when you realize that's a lie, just repent and say, hey, this eclipse was really cool scientifically, and God, and it's amazing that God has given us a moon that's 400 times smaller than the sun, but 400 times closer. They're the same apparent size, which opens the door to all kinds of coolness and speaks to his sovereignty and, you know, just repent.
Precision in the creation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. God's going to bear the truth out.
Yeah.
And at that point, oh, God, you know what? I was kind of taken in that in a bad way. You know, help me. And he will.
Yeah.
For his people, he will.
My final point before we get to right on way off is that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the one that's often quoted. And what that basically says is that everything comes down to how the Christians roll, how God's people roll. My people who are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and repent, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. There is still a possibility of revival. There's still a possibility of the healing of our land.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't come from people fear-mongering to line their own pockets.
No, that's
from
the opposite.
And it won't be running around saying how God is love and God is only love and you're not loving if you don't do. No, loving is saving people from the fire, snatching them from the fire. Read the one chapter of Jude all the way through, maybe in a couple different translations to really get what he's saying about false teachers and about what's really going down.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much of that I'm going to use next Sunday, but 2 John, there's only one chapter as well. And so when you think about it, two books in the Bible that only have one chapter, Philemon's another one, but if you go to 7 through 10 or 7 through 12, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's talking about the, it's not, see, America's not being prophesied. First of all, if God was going to put the sign of Jonah out for everybody to repent, he wouldn't do it across
America
and write about it 2,000 years ago. Right. I mean, know who we are.
Right.
You know?
And the whole X marks the spot over the New Madrid Fault, and we're going to have a big 8-point quake over St. Louis and all that nonsense.
Hey, all those things could happen.
And they could.
Well, they're coming.
But
we
they're
know
most
that already.
Likely not going to happen. And if you need signs, the signs have already come and gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is time. And it is time that we understand that America could technically fall into absolute, complete ruin, destitution, and that not be the end.
And you know why? And you know why God hasn't poured out his wrath is exactly what Chris said. And it's just like what Abraham did when he negotiated with, you know, the angel of the Lord. And he said, far be it from you, Lord, to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah if there are righteous people there.
Right.
Will you spare it for 40 people, for 20 people, for 10 people?
How about one? Just one.
And turned out there was one. He got him and his family out.
Yep.
So it's the remnant. We do need to repent and to pray for our country.
Yeah.
We're the ones. We are the restrainers right now.
And we do need to love better. And we do need to express God's mercy better.
Yes, always.
And we do need to speak the truth louder.
Always.
And we do need to have spines of steel and understand you're not being unloving when you tell somebody that they're going on to their destruction. And the problem is that in Christianity, especially, I saw it really starting around 2000 to 2005, right in there. Mm-hmm. We started seeing the visible church go from pastors not even being willing to say, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell.
Right.
They wouldn't even say that.
Yeah, I think we're in a time in the United States where there's more false teachers than there are real, true, good teachers. I mean, biblical teachers. And so they're abounding. And so if you are honestly, earnestly seeking the Lord, ask him to show you where to find a good, true biblical teacher. It's essential because there's just been an explosion of false teachers, false prophets, and it's hard.
We've had a lot of people coming and going. I can see the stats on the screen.
Oh, yeah,
thank
cool.
you for everybody who's joined us live.
We've got a nice audience
and
for our first live.
Yeah, and so if we're going to, you know, if we're going to keep doing the live broadcast, this will
like
be great.
It.
You can do comments. Then we're going to save the show and post it on all of our podcast channels later. So if you're hearing this later, we just love for you to join us. And freshroadmedia.com, that's the website, freshroadmedia.com.
You know, we're streaming there right now.
We're trying to do an upstart.
I embedded it into the website.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
We're trying to do an upstart outreach broadcast. And so if you have any support, you know, please go on there and give your best gift, freshroadmedia.com. But pray for us and pray for yourself. Repent. Grow stronger in the Lord. Don't lament. Fear not. And let's
and be a Berean.
Be a
Berean. Know your Bible.
Know your Bible. Yeah. Know your history. Remember Abraham Lincoln. You know, he called the people to prayer, repentance, and fasting as well. They did it.
By the way, what started this whole apocalypse show, I got a phone call from a friend of mine in Florida.
Okay.
And she was talking about how she was really scared. She texted me a couple hours ago. She goes, I think I'm wrong, and I'm happy about that.
Oh, great. Yay.
And I texted her back saying, No, and again, there's
nothing
wrong.
Wait till May 21st.
Look, there's nothing wrong with having some trepidation. There's nothing wrong with having a bad dream and waking up going, wow, you know. That's not a sin. That's not, and then saying, you know what? I wonder if God's going to judge everybody during the eclipse. That's not what we're mocking.
Mm-mm.
We're mocking where everybody just went off the rails, and then the false teachers came out of the ground like cicadas that haven't been around for 13 years.
What a great illustration!
The brood of false prophets. We have brood 19, brood 13 cicadas, and then we have the brood. False prophets coming.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
right
on way off, it's time.
Let's do it. All right. I found some really great quotes here. I'm going to throw them out at you guys, and you guys are going to tell me if they are right on or way off. I can't wait to see what you guys
Is there any fun in this one, or
are
is it all
eclipse related?
Are they eclipse, or is it just all
not
obvious?
Not necessarily.
I mean, a couple times you give us Dr. Obvious, you know. Are you right on or way off? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's like...
Okay, I've never been that lame. Okay. Not that that statement is lame. That statement's true.
I know, but it's supposed to be one that makes you think, or you gotta
choose a side. You're very much
a
complainer. I think you're under God's judgment.
Whoa.
Just a little note
here.
Well,
you're the leader of this show, and leadership matters, apparently.
We are not under any more or any less judgment than we were on April 7th.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the signs have already been given. If you don't see the signs around you to repent and lift up your head, then the eclipse ain't going to make the difference.
Don't look at my shirt without glasses.
I'm just happy I got to use this again in 2017.
I bought
this in 2017 for like a buck and a half.
You did? Wow. Yeah. And you are quite frugal,
dude. The gift that keeps on giving.
Tucson, Arizona at the astronomy store.
Did you even think, number one, you were going to need that again?
I don't think I'd. I don't know. I kept it for a reason.
And how did you even know where it was? I mean, you've like moved and everything.
Yeah, it used to be in this drawer, and then it was in that drawer, and then it was in that box. I am piles, not files. And I know where stuff is.
All right, that's awesome.
All right, let's quit talking about Mike Shaw's piles.
Right.
That reminds me of an insult I had once, a human-shaped pile.
Oh,
yes,
that's right.
True.
Not very many people can say that they were on MSNBC twice getting dissed by Keith Olbermann, but Mike Shaw can. All right, Emily, take us home.
Badge.
Let's do this.
All right, statement number one. Listen very carefully, fellas. If you bombard human subjects with fear messages nonstop, in 2 months or less, most of the subjects are completely brainwashed to believe the false message, to the point that no amount of clear information they are shown to the contrary can change their mind.
I'm right on.
Are you right on, Chris?
I'm right on.
Okay.
The 2 months is the only thing that's in question, whether that's the right amount of time. I've always learned 21 times. I've learned 21 days. I've learned the principle of 21.
That's a habit, though.
And I know.
That's
maybe
a little different.
I know. But the bottom line is that I've been calling propaganda media out since the end of George W. Bush's administration and the start Super Tuesday, when Obama got the nod on Super Tuesday 2008. Mm-hmm. I said, this is the start of the end of journalism.
Yeah,
and so we called a lot of stuff between 2008 and 2015 when we were on, before we were completely off the air.
The writing on the wall.
And it just got worse and worse and worse. And Bernie Goldberg wrote a book called Biased. And George W. Bush was carrying that book out to the helicopter one time. And if a president's carrying a book, everybody knows it. It becomes news.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole point of Goldberg's book was that the media was really biased towards the left. Well, it went off the rails during Obama, and it became full-on propaganda. And I was always talking about it, that you cannot have this kind of browbeat. Look, if you hear somebody's worldview, all I got to ask them is, how often do you watch CNN?
Right.
And so there are people now that need a Holy Spirit breakthrough, which is why we don't debate. We proclaim the gospel message, because if we're going to proclaim the gospel message, we will see that people have a chance to break through, because the Holy Spirit's the only thing that can break through once the brainwashing is complete. So I'm right on. I just don't know if the two months is the deal. But that what you're talking about, I think, is true.
Okay. Mike, what do you think? If you bombard human subjects with fear messages nonstop in 2 months or less, most of the subjects are completely brainwashed to believe the false message, to the point that no amount of clear information they are shown to the contrary can change their mind. Is that true or is that – no, not is that true or false. Is that right on or is that way off?
I'm going to go right on that, because there are a couple key – there's a little bit of wiggle room there. Most – mm-hmm. There's a famous Star Trek episode where Captain Picard is held prisoner, and there's like...
You are such a nerd.
Thank you. I try. I'm going to get this wrong, though. The real nerds are going to call me out.
What pile is your Star Trek collection in?
All right. I think, go ahead.
So he's held prisoner, and there's like four lights. Okay. And his interrogator says, all you have to say, there are three lights, and we'll be done.
Oh, right.
And so this goes on for 2 months. I don't know however long it takes to go at impulse speed how many parsecs they had to go. Anyway, I'm just kidding there. But so, you know, he sticks to his guns. There are four lights. It's a meme now.
Okay.
So I think there are some that might have a strong enough will.
Okay.
The other is, you know, what are your other options? So are you a prisoner, or are you allowed to be in your Bible,
right,
to be in the truth?
Yeah.
You know, are you being exclusively bombarded with fear?
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, you know, our culture, the way it is now, the messages that are coming across the media, social media is a big problem,
mm-hmm,
have a huge effect on people, and it is creating fear.
They just know that they're doing it.
We just look at 2020 for one big glaring example.
Mm-hmm.
But you can inoculate yourself against that. Hey, nice segue. You know, by being in God's word, sitting under good teaching, encouraging yourself constantly in the Lord, you're much less likely to fall for the lies, and you're much more likely to be able to encourage yourself with fear not, fear not, fear not.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You guys really hit the nail on the head.
Were we right?
You are both absolutely right. And when I tell you who this is from, it's all going to click for you. Any idea where this statement came from?
C.S. Lewis, of course. Sorry.
I'm going to say the Department of Homeland Security.
Oh,
how about that guy in the lab doing experiments on rats is probably.
Yeah.
The NSA?
Chris, you were really close. That's courtesy of the KGB. Results of some of their psychological experimentation,
which is now
on human
the
beings.
Department of Homeland Security.
I know, right? That's why I said.
I don't. I'm sorry. The KGB became the public school system in America.
Anyway,
that's a whole other story.
It is actually true. But you both did allude to the fact, God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Every time there can be all these things going on, but God. And He is our only rescue. He is our only hope. He is our only source to give us that intestinal fortitude, or to just simply pluck us up out of the lies and deceptions. But the KGB, they knew exactly how Satan worked. You just keep bombarding them with fear. And the human condition will lend itself to whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. All right, statement number two. I love this one, especially in light of the eclipse or the apocalypse eclipse.
I'm ready.
All right. Our lives are not in the hands of people. Our lives are not in the hands of circumstances. Our lives are not in the hands of fate or chance. Our lives are in the hands of God, and there is no safer place to be in all of creation. I know it's a no-brainer, but I want to hear your thoughts. Mike, you go first.
A zillion percent right on.
Yeah.
There's a scripture that I love. I hate, but I love, I guess.
Yeah.
I relate to, and I love, that God orders man's steps. How can he understand his own way?
Yeah.
And my life, and when I look back at the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs, it makes more sense now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you go through things and you end up living somewhere, or, you know, losing a job or getting a job, and it's like, how in the world did I get here, or did this happen?
Yeah.
But God, has a way of bringing it all together for good.
Yeah.
For those who love him and are called according to his purposes.
There you go.
And so he uses all of it. And so it's like, even my own will, some of my dreams that I have realized, it's really wonderful. But then some of the things that I did not plan on, that have been real blessings, and the ones that weren't turned into real blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all God, and that's all him leading me and growing me through it all.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Cool. Love it. Chris, what do you think? Our lives are not in the hands of people. Our lives are not in the hands of circumstances. Our lives are not in the hands of fate or chance. Our lives are in the hands of God, and there is no safer place to be in all of creation. Is that true? Is that right on, or is that way off?
That's way off. It's all karma.
You're so funny.
That's right on.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd even go so far as to go to Daniel chapter 3 and say, mm-hmm, that we at our core, and here's the problem. We shimmy, we shake, we wobble a little bit. But when we are rock solid in with the Lord, we will do what I call the if not clause. Mm-hmm. And it's in Daniel chapter 3 with the three Hebrew children. They say, look, our God can save us from this fire. Our God can rescue us from this particular calamity because we're so in his grip and he holds us so tight that if not, if he chooses not to save us, we're still going to praise him.
Yeah.
And so the if not clause is what Christians need at the forefront of their minds right now. You need that if not clause going because, you know, it's so easy to get discouraged with different things. I have this condition with my hands, and it's brutal. And it's been daily since the 4th of July weekend 2020. So this July will be 4 years where I haven't had a day where I didn't have burning skins in my hands.
In pain, yeah.
And yet I ask God to forgive me. I ask him to heal me. But if not, I'm still going to learn to praise him.
Yeah.
And I've learned just to deal with it, but sometimes I get a little clenchy and I come across, Jesus loves you, you lunatic. So we treat them every night, and you know there's moments of a little bit of ease, but they basically burn 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a little few moments here and there
of relief
when we're treating them, but that's it. And it's just an annoyance. And how many of us have sin like that in our life, where we have that sin because we don't realize that God truly holds us? Mm-hmm. He's everything. Mm-hmm. It's all of it. Yeah. It's all of it.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I just really loved how those two statements really contrasted each other. One coming from the KGB saying how they're going to manipulate people. But then this other one coming from Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. She, wonderful Bible teacher. I really have grown a lot in her teachings.
Did she used to go by Nancy Lee DeMoss?
She did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's married now.
She had
a Viking fan, by the way.
Well, she's a child of the king. So she had a 1 minute deal and called Seeking Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that was 20 years ago when we were on the air 20 years ago. And that it was Nancy Lee DeMoss. And then apparently she got married to a good dude. Skol Vikings.
Skol Vikings, exactly. And so when she talks about our lives not being in the hands of circumstances, you know, like the eclipse, and our lives not being in the hands of people like the KGB, she's absolutely true. She's touching on the solution to it all. All right. Last statement. Chris, we're going to start with you first.
Sure.
If any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you are worse than he thinks you to be. Is that right on, or is that way off?
That's way off. Who is he? I'll fight him right now.
That was a good comeback. Yeah, I like that.
That's right on. We are much worse than we think we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, we think we're pretty good people till we really stop and compare our lives to the Ten Commandments. I love when Ray Comfort does that with the interviews that he does and actually asks you, have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we start out with the classic American line, especially our culture, our generation. Well, at least we're not Hitler. I didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
No, at our core, the heart is deceitful above all else. But what happens is when you accept Jesus as your Savior and you recognize his rescue and he becomes your substitute, and then you want to live out of good old-fashioned gratitude, he starts what's called sanctification. Mm-hmm. He starts a growth process in you. And so now you start to actually have moments where you feel righteous, and in the middle of that, you know at your core you're kind of filthy, and
you know that it's his righteousness.
Scripture says that when we get to stand before him and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, we'll take the crown and throw it at his feet, because we know that his strength in our broken, awful lives is what allowed us to feel that righteousness, to feel that growth, to feel that sainthood, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right.
Mike Shaw. I don't know. What is that? Right on?
Yeah, that's right on. Okay. Mike Shaw, if any man thinks ill of you, don't be angry with him, for you are worse than he thinks you to be. Is that right on, or is that way off?
That is so right on.
Yeah.
I am familiar with this quote. I can't tell you who said it.
R.C. Sproul.
I started reading it, and I honestly skipped a beat thinking, did I bring this to right on way off before?
I don't think so. I think this is, Well, this is good. I have a couple phrases that come off of this phrase.
Okay.
One is, what other people think of me is none of my business. That's one of them. And, you know, we really shouldn't care what other people think of us.
Right. Can't worry about that.
But if they think ill of me, then I am much worse than they think. It's true.
They only saw a small smidgen of me.
That's right. And Chris makes these two illustrations all the time. It's like, we're constantly comparing ourselves to people that we see on the outside, and we see the outside and we think they're better than they really are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're comparing what we really know about our own self, which other people don't see, and we know how bad we are, can be. And so we always fall short in that comparison when, you know, other people are, you know, they're struggling and, you know, and they're, so yes, I am much worse than people think of me. Yeah. And then the other thing is.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yeah, you guys didn't want to say anything.
I appreciate that. Well, what you guys think of me is none of my business.
The judgment of the Lord is upon you as well. No. Yeah, right. I'm kidding.
And then the other thing that's how you. You can't come to Christ unless you come to the realization that you're a jerk without him.
You know, that
is the definition of humbling yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you elevate yourself to where I don't need God, then you're going to suffer the consequences of that elevating yourself because are you going to end up going as far down as possible. So you have to humble yourself to even come to Christ. And so when Chris, you know, says in sermons sometimes, you know, we're all jerks. We are
losers
we're losers without Christ. And so
for those of you just tuning in for the first time, there's a context there. I don't just get up at the pulpit and say, you're all a bunch of losers, sinners.
He does. No, I'm kidding.
In context, Mike.
There is some context there, but it's more fun to put it out there without context.
Did I mention my hands are burning?
That's true. Goodness. You never know what Chris is going through.
Funny.
Be kind.
No, I'm joking.
Do not think too highly of yourself.
And in that vein, Emily, I try to just, you know, lighten the mood sometimes. And other times, it's using truth to lighten the mood. Mm-hmm. We are all sinful.
Yeah.
Jesus loved us while we were yet sinners.
We are blind.
But we are now saints. We are redeemed, and we have to live in that redeemedness as well.
Taking
but
on
the
Christ's
balance that you have to do without getting arrogant. You know, I'm just a child of the King. Yeah. So, you know, rapture's coming. So open another Coke and give me some peanuts. Let me sit back in my lawn chair and watch the eclipse. And hopefully the four horsemen come and kill all you unbelievers. You know?
Because I know more than anybody else that reads their Bible on a regular basis.
And you got to know, righteousness is
a
gift.
I have a Hebrew chart of moons and menorahs.
Can I buy that from you? Anyway.
For 1995, you can.
So are we all right on or way off?
You are all right on, and that is from Funky Chuck himself.
Yeah. Charles Spurgeon.
Spurgeon. Yep.
That sounds like Chuck.
Yeah, I thought all those three quotes were so applicable to today, so applicable to just the human condition, and I love it. So I think that kind of closes our Apocalypse Eclipse 2024.
Our first YouTube Live?
We're about to cut it.
YouTube Live. So thank you to everybody who joined us. And you can listen to it again, or you can tell your friends about it. They can go to freshroadmedia.com. It's going to drop. It's going to post tomorrow morning, right?
Well, So the way it works is this live will stay.
Yeah.
So people can watch the replay anytime they like.
Absolutely.
We'll take the audio, and of course, we'll put it on the podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wherever you do it. Yep.
And we'll take the video and put it on Rumble too.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you guys for tuning in, and tell your friends. We just want to do a variety talk show with a Christian worldview. We want to bring truth to your world honestly and authentically. And without apology.
Exactly. So as a final thought for today, it comes from R.L. Solberg. Don't even know who that is, but I like what he has to say. He says, an eclipse is a cosmic reminder that the universe is not a random collection of matter and events that happened by chance. No. The cosmos is so finely tuned that we can know precisely wherever heavenly body will be 200 years from now, down to the minute. These events remind us that the universe is not an accident, and neither are we, and neither are you. God made us, he loves us, and he is in control. That's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening to us. It is No Apology with Emily and Chris.